Let's pray together, shall we? Our God and our Father, we ask that you open the eyes of our hearts to receive your word implanted, because your word, Lord, is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting very deep to the marrow of our souls. That we would understand, Lord, what it means that you are our shepherd, what it means to be in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So meditation this morning is on Psalm 23. You know, most everybody knows this psalm. It's even known in the secular world, right? You see it, hear it on television and on the movies, especially when recited at funerals. In fact, sometimes we're tempted to doze off because this psalm seems to be kind of worn out to such a degree that it's in danger of becoming dulled. Like, oh no, not the 23rd psalm again. Another problem with the psalm is it's always kind of associated with death. It's often recited at deathbeds and funerals with death and dying. But yet King David penned this psalm when he did. It was written for the living, for those who have to deal with the difficulties in life that can be thrown our way. It was written to remind us of the love and care that our God has for us as a good shepherd. You know, I wonder how many of us have really unpacked what David is saying in this psalm. I know I have not until I really dug into this. You know, St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 1, he says, it is because of him, God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become the wisdom of God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And then in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What does it mean to be in Christ, or to have Christ living in me? And, you know, as I was meditating on Psalm 23, it just hit me that David here is portraying a beautiful picture of what it is to be in Christ, to be in a relationship with the living God. David was in a covenant relationship with God. In Psalm 89, the psalmist says, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. The promise was spoken to David. Here the psalmist portrays David as chosen by God, that through his lineage and his offspring would come the Messiah, Jesus. And you know, we as Christians are also in a covenant relationship, God, through our baptism. God chose you and created faith in you to believe in Christ as your Savior. In your baptism, God says to you, you are mine. I have chosen you. As St. Paul says in Galatians 3, that all who have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That is what David is getting at here. This psalm is to be in a living relationship with God. It's to know Jesus. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A shepherd was a common term in the ancient Near East to describe kings. In that culture, the shepherd was the one who was in charge of his flock. David is saying here that God cares for every need, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So when you are in Christ, all your needs are met. In fact, St. Paul says, and we heard it in our epistle this morning, there was a guy who was just, he was just ready to throw in the towel, but yet he was pressing on to preach the gospel. He was beaten, he was, you know, mugged, he was wanting to be killed, but he kept pursuing the gospel. And he says in Philippians, I know how to be brought low. I know how to have much. And here's the key. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of plenty. I have learned the secret of want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So in other words, no matter what our circumstances, God gives us all we need and strengthens us to endure. He blesses us with gifts of family, home, friends, our occupation, and all the other blessings that God pours out on us. He knows our needs and wants to provide for us abundantly. We have all we need in Christ for this life. We don't have to be like the world with the constant want, the lust for things that people think lead to happiness, but it ends up being just another round of emptiness. You see, to be in Christ is to be content where God has placed you, in assigned you in your life. He is your source. He is your strength and joy. And being in Christ means that we have peace with God and our eternal destiny is settled. Now that's good news. I shall not want. I have everything I need. You have everything you need in Christ because you know Jesus. In verse 2 and 3, David says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here we have a picture of peace and tranquility. The Hebrew word for pasture has the meaning of a beautiful dwelling, to be put in a place of rest. Still waters represent peace and contentment. I remember a few years back, my wife and I traveled to Switzerland. Now, if there was ever a heaven on earth, it's Switzerland. And if God ever had a home, it was in a town called Interlaken, right at the base of the Alps. It's just beautiful. So one day we went out, we took a tour on Lake Thun. And when we got off the boat, they had walking paths on it, and we just sat down by the lake, and I was just transfixed at how calm and how peaceful it was. It was almost like I could be like Jesus and go walk on that water. It was just a whole sense of tranquility. And see, this is what David is giving us, this picture of that peace and tranquility that Jesus gives. Jesus says, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace. As the psalmist says, be still, quiet, and know that I am God. And sometimes in the busyness of life, when we're just crushed with so much to do, do you take time to sit by still waters? Just to take maybe 15 minutes a day, I'm going to just meditate on God's goodness. I'm going to open up the book of Psalms. I'm going to read. I'm going to meditate on, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Or even meditating on this 23rd Psalm. He leads me by still waters. And I know that when I take that time and I just kind of clear my mind and open up the scriptures, there's peace and tranquility that I can't experience in another way. The presence of God is there. And that's kind of what David is saying here. He's saying, peace be with you. Then David says he restores my soul. The Hebrew word means to make new. No matter what you have done, no matter how bad you have messed things up because of your sin, God comes to restore us, to daily make us new every day. You see, in your baptism, you have the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just said that. Those are not just words. That's not just a rote thing. Do you realize what's happening here? When I pronounce the absolution, that means all your sins are forgiven. Your guilt, your shame, for whatever you have done, you are now restored. Because God is in the business of making you and me in the image of his Son. As we struggle with sin, and we all do, it's good to know that we have a shepherd who has died for us and gladly taken away our sin. We have a shepherd who comes after us when we fall away, searching for us, calling us back, no matter where you've gone, no matter what you've done. Holy Spirit renews and refreshes us every day. He restores us and leads us in righteousness. Even when we fall into another round of habitual sin, we definitely feel distinctly dirty, don't we? But being restored doesn't depend on our feelings, but upon God, who washes us with the water and the word and says to you, you are forgiven. In our baptism, Christ washes away our sin and cleanses us with the power of his word. He restores our soul through the hearing of his word and the receiving of his true body and blood. That's our Savior shepherd. That's being in Christ. By his death and resurrection, you have been made whole. As St. Peter says, you've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable. You know, there's some inheritances that can get very perishable, right? When the market can go down, people look at their 401ks. But you have an inheritance bought and paid for by the blood of Christ that's for you, stored in heaven. And you have been given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of what is to come, as a down payment. Then verse 4, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, the Hebrew for this shadow of death means deep darkness, internal anguish. And we've all had to walk through dark days in our lives, times when we feel that God has abandoned us. King David felt the same way when he would say, oh Lord, how long, how long? Will you forget me forever? How long will, why must I go around having sorrow in my heart? For there's the time of darkness, of death, that can tear those who we love away from us, as we are standing at the grave of a loved one. And I know that feeling because I just lost my mother. This is the first Mother's Day I don't have my mother with me. But I know where she is. I know the promise of the resurrection. And I know that while we are in this body, we walk by faith and not by sight. But when we're out of this body, we're with the Lord, as Paul says in Corinthians. Even in those times we wonder if God really is there, does he care about us? Does he answer our prayers? Why am I going through the things that I'm going through? It could be sickness, unemployment, trouble. But see, David says the 23rd Psalm gives a comforting word of God putting his arm around us. It reassures us that we have a God who walks beside us and upholds us through all the trials and troubles of life in the end. and that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Being in Christ means that we don't take this walk alone. None of us. Our good shepherd Jesus caringly and lovingly has paved the way for us through his own death and resurrection. The good shepherd is our resurrected Lord who's conquered the grave. Death no longer has power over him, and it no longer has power over us. Being in Christ is a glorious new life with him now and in eternity, no matter what we go through. As Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Not only does our good shepherd lovingly provide everything we need in this life, he prepares a table this morning. There's a table this morning for those who are sick with sin, doubt, anxiety, and all of life's worries. Right here. Right here. When he comes and he gives of himself, you, the true body and blood of Jesus. That table is always before us to assure us of the forgiveness of sins. When he says, come, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you. Come, partake. Have your faith strengthened and renewed. Come and receive the Holy Spirit. Your enemy, death and darkness, and all the things that plague you have been defeated. His table is always before us. Then David ends this psalm with the words, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. Goodness means all those benefits that we receive from Christ, that were given you in your baptism. It means the presence of God that goes with you every day. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, it's good to know that God stands with us. In the face of every kind of trouble, it's good that the shepherd walks with us. As we face the future and uncertainty, it's good to know the shepherd will be with us. As God pours out his grace abundantly and constantly showing us his goodness. And then there's mercy. This is a favorite word in the Old Testament. The Hebrew means chesed, like loving kindness, steadfast love. Here we're talking about the love God has for us, the mercy, even when we aren't faithful. And believe me, many times we are not faithful. This mercy or loving kindness does not give up on us. In every circumstance of life, God's chesed is burning strong for you. It doesn't give up, even though you might feel like you want to give up in the face of insurmountable circumstances. But now comes a surprising word, and that is follow. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. And I don't think we catch the meaning of the word in the Hebrew again. But in looking it up, the follow means to run after, to pursue. The idea of God as a pursuer, a pursuer of us with mercy, gives us a whole new look at our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Shepherd. We see God in Genesis running after Adam and Eve in the garden after the fall into sin. Adam, where are you? He kept on pursuing his people Israel when they were disobedient, rebellious, and kept on sending the prophets, calling them back. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about the parable of the shepherd who goes after the one sheep. I mean, there's 99 there. Why are you going after just one? You've got the majority, right? No, Jesus goes after the one sheep that strayed from his flock.
And he kept on pursuing that lost sheep until he found it. And then he put it around his neck when he found it, and joyfully brought it back and celebrated. That's the kind of mercy God has for you and for me. And he keeps pursuing you when you wander away. He pursues you relentlessly with goodness and mercy all the days of your life. See, this psalm, almost every verse of this psalm has something to say to you and me of what it means to be in Christ. That's what it means to be in Christ. To have a shepherd so special and unique. To have a shepherd that will continually pursue you with his mercy and goodness. And never give up on you. Brothers and sisters, grab hold of that promise. Take it in. It is God for you. If God be for us, who could be against us? Nobody. Because you are in Christ, know this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God.